Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller, and I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Professor Doug Thompson, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Criminal Justice Degree Program. Thank you so much for joining me today, Doug.
Great to be here.
Today we're going to be talking about institutional enemy. So what is institutional enemy? What does all of that mean?
Well, institutional enemy was developed by two U.S. theorists, Stephen Messner and Richard Rosenfeld, in 1994. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they took Merton's idea of enemy, and prior to that, Durkheim's idea, and they said, what is going on in the States? Because if you remember Merton, he has a whole idea of you trying to achieve this economic goal and are you getting there or not. With Messner and Rosenfeld, they looked at it and said, okay, Merton was writing in 1938. It's now 1994. The United States is an incredibly powerful economy, but it's incredibly rich. But there's all these other things going wrong inside the society. Why is there so much violence? Mm-hmm. Why is there so much bad health in the United States? Why is the United States so bad at so many other things in comparison to the other G7 countries and the industrialized world? And what they argued was that United States' emphasis on monetary value, on everything has to be economic value, that takes away the fundamental roles of all the institutions in society. So if you remember back to your basic understanding of society, you've got your basic institutions which have a function in society. So your family's function is to introduce you into society, to give you basic lessons in indoctrinate you into the values and cultures. You've got school, government, religion, all those have a role to play.
Right.
And they argue that in the United States, the prime role for all the institutions in society have become monetarized. Mm-hmm. So how much economic value are you producing?
Right.
And if you can't put a monetary value on it, it doesn't have any worth. So they then look at this and say, okay, why are these things having an increase in crime, and how do we measure it? So, in the United States, money rules. If we look at the political system, in order to become elected, you need a lot of money.
Yes.
Huge amounts of money. And it's even to the level of, you, if you want to be elected, they elect judges, sheriffs, politicians, even dog catchers, they elect, and you need money to do that. And the way to win is to have lots and lots and lots of money. For the people on the ground, your normal citizen, if you see this as a financial thing rather than your participation in democracy, you're not going to vote.
Right.
And the United States is one of the lowest voting levels in the industrialized world. So 57% of people vote in the United States. That's a comparison to 68% in Canada. Sweden and Denmark is over 85% of the population vote because they feel they are part of it. Whereas in the United States, you look at who's running and who's up there, and you think, I can't, this is not part of me. And if, again, in the United States, the people who don't vote are normally the poorest, the most marginalized. And in other institutions, it's how much money you can make. So the prison system is becoming more and more privatized.
Yep.
Can you make money? Schools now are becoming charter schools, which is, can we make money out of it? Tertiary education is a huge amount of private universities, and their aim is to make money, not provide you education.
Right.
A lot of these online colleges, their goal is not to make money. Their goal is not to provide an education or teach critical thinking in their students, is to get as much money out of them as possible. And so Messner and Rosenfeld argue that when these institutions fail in their way of providing basic structure to the citizens, they fail and produce a mass enemy inside society. And the interesting thing with this is that their work has been looked at to try to work out homicide rates in certain countries, in particular Russia, where Russia was a perfect example of the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of Russia. Their old institutions suddenly become monetarized.
Right.
And it's how much money can we make out of it? And as soon as you stop making money, we're just going to dump you. And homicide and violence rates just went through the roof in Russia.
Right.
And if you look at Canada, North America, is if you look at a company and saying, what is the function of the company? What is the function of an organization? Is it to provide work and products, or is it to provide money?
Now it's just to provide money. All the big corporations, yeah, that's all they want.
So one of the interesting things is that in the 1970s, companies in North America, a lot of them stopped being responsible, but became accountable. So accountable means you are accountable to your shareholders.
Right.
The shareholders want money.
Mm-hmm.
Responsible, it's very, very different. Responsible means you're responsible to your shareholders. You're also responsible to your workers, your customers, to society, to the environment.
Right.
If you're accountable, it's just money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if you're making widgets or coffee or toxic chemicals, I want to make a profit.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter about anything else, which is what we see with every major corporation.
Yeah, whereas if you're responsible, you're actually thinking not just your next quarter, but the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll see that old style companies are saying, well, why do you keep that worker on? Well, because they've been working for us for 20 years,
mm-hmm,
and we have a responsibility to them and their family. Now it's, who cares?
Right, and that's where a lot of this enemy comes from, is those institutions are looking more at just the dollar sign.
Completely. So if you look at the UK, they have what is called the gig economy, where you can come on a 0 hours contract. You sign up on a contract and they offer you no hours, but they will call you and say, we need you to work 4 hours today and you must be there and work four
right.
hours. Uber.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about their workers. Want yep. money, and they tell you, oh, you are free to make as much money as you want. No, you're not, actually.
Yeah.
No, they're just denying their responsibility
mm-hmm.
as a company. And with the thing with this institutional enemy is that you cannot, in the present climate, change this mass attitude of money is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States is not a happy country. Very high homicide rates, incredibly poor health.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at countries such as Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, the happiest countries in the world, their institutions work
mm-hmm.
because they are saying what is important for our people.
Right.
Not for the shareholders.
Mm-hmm. For people the common
profit.
People.
For everyone.
So that's the way that we need to go as future policymakers, future individuals working in these hopefully high, powerful, and profile positions.
When money becomes the goal,
mm-hmm.
you are willing to throw people out, and
yep.
people become a commodity.
So I guess the way to avoid that is to vote, obviously.
Yes.
Vote for people that are not necessarily for that, although there are still a lot of...
You need to vote. You need to get involved in the institutions because mm-hmm. they don't care if you're involved or not.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of them, they don't want you involved.
Yep.
Because then they can turn around and say, well, no one protested, so...
Yeah. And no one, the people that didn't vote, whatever, it helped us get in anyway.
Yes.
Give us a lot to think about, especially moving forward after we get through this degree and hopefully into further education so that we can be the generation that makes those changes and hopefully...
Well, the advantage here at Humber is that there are a lot of people here who, as academics, were not here for the money.
Yes, here to actually provide education and experiences and give us things to critically think about.
Yes.
So that we can hopefully change the path of our country as well as
yes,
maybe
no
the world. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Until next time, I'm Natalie Miller, and this has been Criminal Justice Knowledge.